Tea, Earl Grey, hot. Thanks.
Oh, I'm not going to drink the tea. I'm just going to put my socks in it and then put my socks back on. Mmm. Man, it's cold out there. It's 1 degree above zero. -1 would be colder, theoretically, but it wouldn't seem so. Negative numbers, -1, -20, nobody knows what that means. Nobody can visualize a negative number, but 1 degree. We can all imagine that one single solitary degree, shivering alone on frozen steps. Oh, and it's supposed to get worse, too. It's supposed to be something like, well, I don't know, 178 below this weekend with a wind chill. The wind chill, of course, is what they mean by the temperature of the wind and the cold on exposed flesh. The lesson being, don't expose your flesh. As if we have to be told. Actually, I do have to be told. I regularly go out without a hat when it's ridiculously cold because it ruins my hair, and I may be called up at any moment for some sort of fashion shoot, so God forbid I should have static flyaway. I'm guessing, however, that different parts of the body, skin-wise, react differently to cold. I mean, if I were to go out there naked and let my freak flag fly, so to speak, there would be parts of me that would react to the cold with more puckering alacrity than, say, the soles of the feet, which are much tougher and I imagine can stand extremities, since they're extremities themselves. You know what I mean. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. This is James Lilacs, still shivering, but settling into the warm diner, which smells of hot dogs and onion rings. Seated at my usual space at the long boomerang pattern formica counter here at the diner on an old Highway 23, which is heaped with snow. Plows haven't really made it through. I barely got here myself. It is winter. It is winter. And all I want to do is go. I know, but where? Mexico? It was such a cliche. No, I'll stay here. I'll tough it out. Why? Because it builds character, that's why. It makes me a hardier fellow. Toughens my moral fiber. I've got so much moral fiber from 48 years in this temperature that if you were to introduce me to the digestive system of a dinosaur, it would defecate for 6 days on end. That's how much fiber I've got in me. You know, it was 100 degrees about 6-7 months or so ago, and now it's going to be 20 below. It's a 120-degree shift. That's astonishing that people live here willingly. I know. In Arizona, it's 40 degrees in the cold season. It gets up to 120 or whatever, but that's different. That would be the difference. If it was 140 in Arizona and it was 260 6 months later, that would be more like it, okay? What I cannot figure out is why people... Well, I understand why people live here. I love it here. I really do. I pity the person who at this very moment is spending their first day in Minnesota, having come here from, say, Atlanta or something, and they're unpacking everything and looking out the window and weeping uncontrollably. I feel for them. Well, what I don't understand are the Eskimos. Okay? Now, the Eskimos, when they settled the frigid parts of the world, didn't have the advantages that we have today. They didn't have space heaters. They didn't have insulation. I know. They did wonderful things with snow, and that if you build a house with snow, it actually heats nicely and holds the heat, etc., etc. But I'm sorry. It's still Alaska. It's still the Yukon. So there they are. They've stopped in their migration from whatever reason, because I don't believe they came out of the earth like spontaneous generation. They're moving from somewhere else. Siberia, let's say. They've gone a long ways. It hasn't gotten any warmer. Somebody must have said, well, I'm pretty sure that the entire world is like this. It's all cold. Everything in our experience teaches us that frigiosity is the natural state of mankind. There had to be somebody in the tribe who'd raise a hand and say, excuse me, but we don't know that. I think we've just been moving laterally. Okay? We've moved from Siberia across the Bering Straits, and now we're here in this place which is indistinguishable in every way from the place where we used to live, except that we've been walking for 3 generations, and we've lost hundreds of people, Why don't we keep on moving? Let's change. Let's go. Let me make up a word here. South. Let's pretend there's a direction called south and head toward it. No, can't do that. Sun won't follow. Heard rumors of a land where there is no snow. How do you keep from falling into the earth? Oh, I don't know. Maybe they'll have dirt or something. No, they just stayed there. Didn't move. Well, I did. Moved away a few years ago to a warmer place, D.C. Very warm. Warm and humid the way I like it. But I moved back here. This is my place. These are my people. Diluted lumps of parka-clad flesh that they are, my people. Let's see what we have here today on the old jukebox. He said, looking at the chalkboard menu by the door. I'm sorry, I'm just... My mind is with me. What is on the chalkboard menu behind the door? Eskimo pie. Oh, that's very cute. A dessert. That's very, very cute. Well, you know, in a way it makes sense. Just as you're supposed to drink hot coffee during the summertime to acclimate your body to the heat, I suppose it makes perfect sense to eat a lot of ice cream in the wintertime so that your body has a sort of equilibrium. And it you die easier, I guess, then. Your body doesn't expend so much energy getting rid of the heat so you can die. That's a good idea. Heading out on a long car trip, no chains, no emergency flares, no cell phone. Plan on driving recklessly, spinning out in a ditch and ending up covered by drifts of snow? Have some ice cream before you go. You'll die faster. My dad actually did get stuck in the drifts overnight with my mother in a car. They were coming back from the farm, back to Fargo, and they spun out and they ended up in the ditch in the middle of winter. And there they stayed for some time until they were rescued hours later. I mean, 1950s, but you could die in your car heading back from the farm. Anyway, I mean, in the old days, if you had a horse, at least you could cut it open and climb inside. You can't do that with a car. You're already inside the horse, so to speak. And you keep running the engine, you get carbon monoxide buildup, and you get dozy and dreamy, and off you go to dreamland, and you're dead. Dead! Winter, official season of death. Let's look at the jukebox here. What do we got? What do we have today? Of course, it was restocked last night by the fellow who comes in the middle of the night, and what sort of evil things did he put in here to tempt me and drive me nuts? Let's find out. Punching at random, at usual, J12. No. He'd like that, wouldn't he? J10. Very clever. Yes, saved by zero by the fix. Zero because it's cold. Oh, this guy has a great sense of humor. All right, let's try J12, which I was going to push anyway.
Calling Mr. Ozzel with a swastika tattoo. There is a vacancy waiting in the English voodoo cover. Deep vandal on the filter bar's head. When it's had enough for that, maybe you'll take him to bed too. She needs a life, or he wishes she was dead. Turn up the TV, the wireless man will suspect. Even your mother won't detect it, so your father won't know. They think that I got no respect.
Now, great, so it's less than zero. We've actually lost a degree in the last few minutes here, so... Well, that's got to be it. There can't be any other songs in the popular music repertoire that reference the concept of zero. Can there? With trepidation, my hand goes to J9. As it often does in times like this.
Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero. The kids all call him Johnny Zero. In school they always used to say, Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero. zero. Johnny got a zero today.
Hey, hey.
The kids all laughed at Johnny Zero, and they would tease him when they play. Johnny got a zero. Johnny got a zero. Johnny got a zero today.
He couldn't concentrate on studies. His mind was always in the sky.
When he grew up, he left his buddies, and Johnny learned how to fly. Now they still call him Johnny Zero, and all the pilots proudly say, Johnny got a zero, he got another zero, Johnny got a zero, hooray! Johnny Zero is a hero today. Johnny Zero, he's a hero now. Hooray,
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 hooray. The kids all call him Johnny Zero, and every day in school they used to say, Johnny went and got a zero, Johnny went and got a zero, Johnny got a zero today. All the kids would laugh at Johnny Zero, they always tease him a lot when they play. Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero, Johnny got a zero today. He never liked to get his lessons. Why, he couldn't even figure two and two
and two and two and two and. But you'll admit that he's the best one
when he takes off into the blue. Now they still call him Johnny Zero, and all the pilots proudly say, Johnny got a zero, he got another zero, Johnny got a zero today. Johnny Zero is a hero, our Johnny is a hero, Johnny Zero is a hero today.
That, of course, was the Song Spinners from 1943 with their smash follow-up to Billy Took a Messerschmitt. Now let's see, there's got to be something else here to play. You know, I'm starting to wonder if he's... He, being the guy who stonks the jukebox, trying to pull something on me here. Trying to figure out whether or not I can figure out what the reference to the weather is in the next song. All right, buddy, I'm on. I can name the reference to the next song in 17 minutes. No, notes. 17 notes. Well, duh, Coldplay. Coldplay, get it? Give me a hard one. No, maybe not. Is that Coldplay? Let's run the whole thing and see. Wait a minute. Hold on. Brother, indeed. Am I supposed to hate Coldplay? I am not quite clear on all that. I know I was supposed to love them for a while, but am I supposed to hate them now for whatever reason? I don't. I generally like what they do. But that song... let's just say it strikes me as somewhat familiar. I don't know why I went into Kirk mode there, but I did. Because it does strike me as a familiar song. How familiar? This familiar. That, of course, is Computer Love by Kraftwerk. Or as the German DJs of the time probably had to say, Das ist Kraftwerk mit Computer Liebe! Or maybe not, that's a gross. Gross and cliché. I wonder if the people in Hitler's time actually felt compelled to talk like Hitler all the time. I mean, the man had a distinctive speaking style. He ranted and he screamed. And I just wonder if people felt hesitant to speak in normal civil tones lest they be seen as traitors to the fatherland. So everyone would walk around shouting and ranting in the same voice. Good morning! How are you? When will the bus come? I see it coming down the street now, but the bus is later than it was the day before! Just wearing your nerves. You'd have a headache by 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, Hitler got through any of those speeches without stroking out, frankly. Anyway, the Coldplay song is obviously taken from Kraftwerk, and I hope that they credit him, so to speak, in the credits in the album. I don't know, since I don't have the album. I don't have any albums. The idea of actually listening to music while staring at the gatefold, if you were lucky enough to get an album with a gatefold, of course, long gone. I mean, I remember when you used to get an album. Oh, back in the days, you'd open up that thing. Yep, you'd use a little nail there, the one we grew extra long for spooning up the coke, and you'd use that fingernail, and you'd go right in the little cellophane, and you'd crack it open, and then you would pull out the sleeve. Now, if it was a really expensive record with a lot of money behind it, it would open up a gatefold, which was used for various herbaceous distribution and sorting pursuits, if you know what I mean. But generally, it would have the lyrics on the inside of the gatefold, which would always be cool. You're always disappointed when you opened up that gatefold and you just got a big stupid picture. One big stupid picture. Because apparently the guys who did the album had enough pull to get the record company to pop for one big stupid picture. And that was it. And then maybe the lyrics would be on the sleeve. Oh, how we pored over those lyrics. Oh, what they meant to us then. Now, who knows? You know, you get something off iTunes, no album art comes with it except for a tiny little picture that's stored in the recesses of your computer. You gotta look elsewhere for the lyrics. And the idea of actually sitting there and staring at a piece of paper or a big album delivery mechanism while you listen to it is long gone, long gone. And who cares? Well, in a way, I do, because there was a great genre of art, really, the 12-inch by 12-inch canvas on which many interesting artists worked, be they Roger Dean with his hippy-trippy stuff that he did for Yes, or the work of a British outfit called Hypnosis. That's Hypnosis, who did all the stuff for Pink Floyd and Genesis. And they had some really cool stuff. You could stare at that stuff for hours. Actually, it just seemed like hours. It was only 12 minutes. Man, time moved differently in those days. Wonder why. Anyway, we've now settled where Coldplay got that from. People roll their eyes at Kraftwerk, partially because they were responsible for a genre of music that a lot of people hate, electronica. And also they remember Autobahn, an early piece of plink-plink electronic music, which went on for about 23 minutes. They cut it down into a 7-minute single, I think. Charted it about 500. But I've always liked Kraftwerk. And it's not just for their lyrical brilliance, either. I mean, consider that last song we just heard. Another Lonely Night. Another Lonely Night. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Stare at the TV screen. Stare at the TV screen. I need a rendezvous. I need a rendezvous. And nothing really sums up romantic aspirations like hearing a tall, nerdy German computer programmer use a French word. But this was 1980-something or other. This is the middle of the 80s. Computer Love. Think about it. This is long before people were cybering, to use that horrible term for typing with one hand. This looked ahead and prefigured a day when people stuck in their small little Euro cubicles they called houses, glaring at the screen, would shake themselves away from the tube and sit down in front of a home computer and type and find a mate and find love. Anyway. Well, having spoken myself into a corner, once again, I think the only thing that I can possibly do is head to the restroom, where I will wash my hands under hot water to get some feeling back, because they're still numb. And in the meantime, a word from our sponsor.
Here's a message of importance to millions of people who are continually pale and washed out, weak and run down. Doctors will tell you that these conditions are often caused by a deficiency of iron, the iron you need to build healthy blood, to keep your body function properly, and to keep you physically fit and mentally alert. Ironized yeast tablets provide you with a simple and effective way to get the daily iron your body requires. Ironized yeast is a concentrated iron tonic combined with high-potency brewer's yeast, one of the natural sources of vitamin B1. And every daily dose of ironized yeast gives you more than your daily minimum iron requirement in a form your body can easily use and put to work. Of course, pallor and weakness can come from other causes, so see your doctor regularly. But medical studies show that 2 out of 3 women, particularly those between 15 and 50, and many, many men, lack sufficient iron. So if you're not getting the iron your body needs, if you feel weak, run down, and are easily upset, get new pep, vigor, and color for only a few pennies a day. Start taking ironized yeast tomorrow.
Again, it's that damn bug again. You would have think that the cold would have killed it by now. And don't those things just last for 24 hours anyway? This is the longest list. It's been weeks this bug has been hanging. It's by my ear and I can't. Get some strips. Remember those? Remember those? Oh boy, I'm on a real nostalgic jag today, aren't I? Album covers and death strips. Used to be these gummy things you would hang in the corner. And the flies would alight on the adhesive strip, and they couldn't move. So essentially, you just had this. You could have put up tape, I suppose, and smeared it with jam. It would have had the same effect. But it was this. It ended up being this long, yellowy, crinkly thing that was furry with dead flies. And then eventually, you took it down. I don't know what you would be waiting for. It's not like anybody would get a razor blade and shave off the flies on a daily basis. So the thing just hung there until it was totally encrusted in Musca domestica. Anyway, I'll have to get one of those. Pity nobody ever invented a fly trap like a mouse trap. You know, a little tiny thing, it'd be so cute. Put a little jot of, I don't know, fecal material in there, and then just wait for the fly to alight, then snap, take its head off. Of course, I can probably still fly with her head off. It wouldn't be much good. Anyway. All right, well, it is that time of the course of the diner, where I either try to figure out what this is all leading up to, which is obviously nothing, and or I consult the mailbag. And that means, once again, I have to figure out what I'm going to do for a mail theme, since I cannot find anything that is appropriate to the moment. I've got something new, though. I haven't listened to it. That would be presumptuous of me. That would save us all a lot of time, wouldn't it? So let's just try it now and see what we've got. Our new, maybe, diner mail theme.
Okie, okie.
Okeechobee, okeechobee,
arachifoom. Okeechobee, okeechobee, arachifoom. Okie, okeechobee, Seminole, Seminole, sang, sang. Okeechobee, Seminole, Seminole, song of the barefoot mailman.
No. Obviously a hangover from that period in which America was enamored of hillbillies. Sort of a post-Little Abner thing. Oh, hillbillies were big. People don't realize this. There are all kinds of hillbilly comic books. They're all the same. All about fussin' and feudin' and fightin'. With bodacious blondes a la Daisy May and granny types and Jethro types. what, firing their blunderbusses at them with which they is feuding and eating possum and the rest. It's just a dreadful nonsense. Just crap of the highest degree. But it reached its apotheosis in the Beverly Hillbillies. The Beverly Hillbillies didn't come out of nowhere, you know. There was a rich cultural loam that produced it. And it actually influenced Mountain Dew, for that matter. The whole hillbilly craze culminated in Mountain Dew, which had on it a picture of a hillbilly sleeping with a jug with, well, not three X's, because that would be liquor, half an X or something, and an outhouse in the back, you know, the rest of it. Mountain Dew was hillbilly juice at first, before it became the sugar-infused go-juice choice of young programmers anywhere. Anyway, this letter comes from... This letter comes from Mrs. Agnes Johnson. That narrows it down. Of Coralville, Iowa. That's another one from Coralville, Iowa. And she writes, "Dear Mr. Leakless," whatever, "does the diner serve popcorn? I know that I like popcorn, and a lot of people do. It would seem a welcome addition to the menu. Sincerely, Agnes." Well, Ag, if I can call you that, no, the diner doesn't serve popcorn because the diner is a restaurant. Restaurants don't serve popcorn. Oh, they'll serve corn. They'll serve pop. But they'll never put the two together. It doesn't even occur to them to do so because it would be déclassé, so to speak. Popcorn is a bar thing. Popcorn is a pub thing. Popcorn is a shove stuff in your mouth and make you thirsty so you'll drink more beer thing. But really, who wouldn't want popcorn at a restaurant? But for some reason, if the waiter showed up and just put a bag of popcorn down the table instead of bread, people would people would be plussed, I think. Or is it nonplussed? They would be in a state of disorientation, let's just say. So no, hold on a second. This is usually the point in the show where something that happened in the first part of the show comes back in a mutated but similar form and helps me get out of the thing in 30 minutes, but nothing seems to be happening. Well, let's just hit the jukebox again then, one last time.
Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 another bag of popcorn. Here he comes, the popcorn man. Pops them like no one can. Got 5 cents in your hand. Give it to the popcorn man. See him here, see him there. See him most everywhere. At the old county fair. They all love the popcorn man.
As they pop to the sky, he sings this lullaby.
Good for boys and good for men. Makes old maids like girls again. Pops them up, he won't stop. Pops them up till they drop. Papa, how he can pop. They all love the popcorn man.
Popcorn.
Old popcorn and cracker tape. Old popcorn and cracker tape. Got a nickel in your hand, a popper, son. Got a nickel in your hand, a popper, son.
Popcorn.
Old popcorn and cracker tape. Old popcorn and cracker tape. Pop the cracker jack. Pop, pop, pop. Another bag of popcorn.
Here he comes, the popcorn man. Pops him up like no one can. You got 5 pennies in your hand.
Yeah, man.
We'll give it to the popcorn man.
See him here, see him there. See him most everywhere. At the old county fair, they all love the popcorn man. As they pop to the sky, he sings this lullaby. Good for boys and good for men. Makes old maids like girls again. Pops him up, he won't stop. Pops him up till they drop. Whoa, Papa, how he can pop. I'm talking about the popping of the popcorn man. Pop up another bag of popcorn. Oh, would you like some Cracker Jack, Jack?
Oh, now I'm hungry for popcorn. Hot, buttered popcorn. With large grains of salt. Not that small, finely granulated, inhalable salt, but I've come to really love large chunks of salt on my hot, buttered popcorn. But that means I'd have to leave the diner, wouldn't it? I'd have to get in my car, go outside, where it's 1 degree, still, and drive and find a bar where they have popcorn. On the other hand, Highway 23, it does head south. Rumor has it connects up with the Pan American Highway. I could ride this baby all the way to Chile, where it's summer, and keep going until I hit Antarctica, where it's winter. So never mind. I'll have the ice cream. Maybe I'll even buy a quart and take it home, so in case my car spins out tonight and I spend the night in the ditch, I'll have something to put my hands in to keep them warm. Well, thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for Friday, February 2nd, 2007. We'll see you down the road.